If we turn in God's word to the Gospel of Luke, please. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 14. When the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take, eat, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. The Lord Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, instituted this supper, this communion table that we observe regularly. We do so because it has been commanded and instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't only institute it, he also explained it. He endeavored to show the purpose of it, not necessarily all the purposes of it, but he did in this expression, this do in remembrance of me. That's an explanation of the supper. It's not the whole explanation. There's some people just think it's just a remembrance feast, that's all there is to it, but there's far, far more than that. But at the very basic level, he is explaining it as a remembrance feast. And what I want to do this morning very briefly is just to speak about the functions of the Lord's table, what it is, what it's about, why we do it, and what it's for. And of course, it is, as the Lord says, it's a help to remember. This do in remembrance of me. But the Lord Jesus doesn't want us to forget about him. He certainly doesn't want us to forget about his death and the centrality of the cross and the need of the blood for the washing of our sins. And so he's instituted this feast so that his person and his cross work will always be central in the church. And no matter how much it departs or corrupts from the faith, there is still this supper taking place and something of his remembrance going out. No matter how much people depart, this supper is still going out. There's still some testimony to his person, to his life upon earth, to his death, and his body and blood being a sacrifice for our sins. And so that's a very basic level. It is a help to remember. We also can look upon it as a duty to perform. Because this commandment, this expression, this do in remembrance of me, is a command. It's not take it or leave it or a bit of advice. It's put in the form of a command. And so he has put duty to this table. He's made it a matter of discipleship, a matter of obedience. And if you're a Christian, if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very basic of that is just to obey the Lord. And he has tied that obedience to the observance of the Lord's Supper. So every Christian should come to the Lord's table. Yes, to remember Christ, but also to carry out their duty, to perform duty. You know, really that just sums up a Christian life. Just duty. Duty. Duty is very important. And the kingdom of Christ is like that. Duty. Not how you feel. Not if you want to. Well, maybe we'll come to church, or maybe we'll come to the Lord's table. No, it's duty. And maybe we'll pray. Duty. And so remember that as well in every aspect of your Christian life. But certainly this table is duty. But it's also, it's more than that too, brethren and sisters. And it's a privilege to enjoy. And I would like you to look upon it as that as well. It's not an unpleasant duty. It's a privilege to enjoy. This is a blessed thing. I mean, the Lord's sitting with his apostles. He's going to suffer immensely. He could be doing other things to help his own mind and his own peace and he could be reflecting and, you know, but no, with his apostles and instituting this supper because he cared for them. And it's a privilege to enjoy it. And it's like just sitting with the apostles, it's just like sitting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Time doesn't mean anything to the Lord. I know we're separated by 2,000 years, but the Lord's eternal. And if we just sit at this table, it's like sitting with him there. He sees more than the 12 this night when he's saying these things. He's seen us in Guildford this morning when he said these things to the apostles. We're entering into eternity when we come to the Lord's table. We're having dealings with the eternal one here, beyond time and outside of time, with Christ in the bread and in the cup. There are things here that we have no idea about. We're handling eternal things here. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's also a table to edify. And that's why the Lord did it in the form of a feast and a table. Because you have a meal at the table. You have a feast at the table. You get edified in your body at a table. And the Lord is telling us that this is going to be a place for edification. This is a place where you'll be built up. And so the Reformed faith has always said that the Lord's Supper is a means of grace. It's a means of edification. It's a means of building you up. And you come here to be strong. You come here to get your faith strengthened. Every time we meet, it has that effect, or it ought to. Maybe not perceptible to us, but in the blessing of the Lord and with the Holy Spirit's work, it does have that work, that effect in our hearts. So it's a table to edify. It's also a place of communion. The Bible calls it the communion of the body and blood. And so those who say it's just an empty memorial supper and there's nothing beyond that are quite wrong. There's a communion, there's fellowship taking place. There's fellowship with the risen Christ. There's participating of his body and blood by faith. There's a union and a communion. There's an actual fellowship present. Now there has to be faith. The fellowship doesn't take place by means of our mouth. The mouth just takes part of the symbols and the seals and the signs. With that and along with that and present with that, there's a mouth of faith. And we're receiving Christ and we're believing afresh in Christ and we're enjoying Christ afresh and being reminded and also just re-exercising our heart's trust in him as our Saviour and our Redeemer, the one who we believe in to have eternal life in. And that's taking place if you have faith in exercise. And I hope and trust you do have faith in exercise at his table. But also, it's a witness to the world, isn't it? Remember how Paul said, you have to do this until the Lord comes. What? Show his death. You're showing his death till he comes. Now, he's not literally being crucified amongst us. There's no sacrifice taking place. But the way we show his death in the preaching of the word, so we're showing it in the emblems of the Lord's Supper, his body and his blood. We're just telling the world, though they can't come to the table, we're telling them what they miss. We're telling them what they need to know and experience, what they need to have in their lives, this cross work of Jesus Christ. And so it's a witness for us as well. And these are just many of the purposes of the Lord's table. And so I hope you value it. And you'll see it's important. I do appreciate that most of you do come to the Lord's table every month. And that really encourages my heart. You really all stay on here. And I value that. And that's a good sign of spiritual maturity. And may the Lord bless you for your love for his table.